Praise God. Thought we'd start out with a little game this morning. Way back in the late 70s and 80s, I actually was a manager of a record store. There's my name badge right there, my last name badge that I put in front of my Bible there. And I thought we'd start with a little game. Because what would Christmas be like without songs and carols and all? So where's our drummer at? My mic man, praise God. The mic man is back. So what I'm going to do, this side is going to be against this side. This is my right side, this is my left side, in case you were wondering. I am going to do a lyric, and then you raise your hand from this side if you know the name of the Christmas song. And the first lyric is, "We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be." Now, and that's Rachel. Sleigh ride. All right. Praise God. Right side one, left side nothing. All right, for the left side, here's your lyric. When we finally kiss goodnight, Kathy. Oh, wait. She's over here. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight all the way home, I'll be warm. One of our younger participants, Ernie.
Let it snow.
Let it snow. All right. 1-1. All right. For the right side. Next one. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Anybody else but Rachel know any Christmas songs? Praise God. Who has? All right.
Blue Christmas.
Blue Christmas. Nice. Praise God. Who sang that, Rachel? Praise God. She knows that stuff. All right. Question number three for the left side. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Here we have an elder here, praise God. What do you got, brother?
I'll be home for Christmas.
Nice. 2-2, praise God. All right, right side, just two more. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. That's a tough one. Rachel had her hand up when I said when I said mistletoe, Rachel put her, oh yeah, that's right, because the thing's up there. Got it. Very good. All right. Let's see if the left side can guess this one. In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he's Parson Brown. We'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. All right.
Frosty the Snowman.
What did she say?
No.
Was it the wrong answer? I didn't hear what you
Frosty
said.
Frosty the Snowman.
Not Frosty the Snowman. Right side. Wait, we got somebody that leads the music. Way back, way back. Praise God.
Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland.
Is that what she said? That's the answer. Praise God. So Rachel in the right side won. Praise God. I'm going to ask the teenagers one. See if you can guess this. Here's the lyrics. All I want for Christmas is you. Anybody know the name of that song? It's a tough one.
You got it?
All I want for Christmas is you. What's the name of the song?
I think you got it. Yeah? Try it.
Is it All I Want for Christmas?
The guy is a genius. That's the answer. Colby Gardner. Praise God. Colby, we have a TV we want to give you in the other room today. I'll show it to you. Praise God. Oh, my God. Did you notice the theme in any of those songs? Think about it. Valentine's Day may get all the glory for being the holiday of love, but it's pretty clear that Christmas holds a corner on the market as a season of love and romance and Hallmark. Praise God. In a 2014 American Wedding Study conducted by Brides Magazine, I think that's a Christian I don't know, but anyway, researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur in the month of December, making it the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular to pop the question? Statistics show that Christmas Eve is the most popular day for engagements. Praise God. And I hear all these parents saying, teenagers, you're too young. Praise God. So I wanted to come today and say, sorry, Cupid, but more people get engaged on Christmas Eve than on Valentine's Day. Data released by this website, I'm not sure, it's called Facebook. Anybody heard of that? Last year showed that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, then New Year's Day, then Valentine's Day. So there's certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love during this season. If you get engaged on Christmas Eve today, I will wholeheartedly celebrate with you. And we do want to celebrate today because Oliver Luke is here today. He was born on November 25th, 2016. Praise God. There's Matt and Diana Duane right there. Born on the 25th, already in church. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all are fantastic parents. Praise God. God is good. Now, depending on whether you find yourself in regard to romantic relationships at the moment, I thought about all this love in the air can bring happiness and expectation, but at the same time, maybe loneliness and isolation. Because either way, too much focusing on the cuddling in the cold and the meeting under the mistletoe can blind us to the real story of Christmas. So I challenge us not to miss the true story of love this season, this Christmas season. This is the love story that has been written for all of us. The story of true, and I really want us to read this. Put that next slide up. I want us to read this together. What's the next slide? The story of... No, next one. There you go. Let's read this together. The story of true, faithful, unending, sacrificial love, which is in God's love and sending Jesus, is the one love that changes everything. Changes everything. Love has been God's story from the beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the garden before and after sin entered into the world. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving them a new start. In the Old Testament, God gave the commandments and the law in love as a way for his people to atone for their sin and stay connected with him. And his love turned the world upside down and inside out when he sent his son to live among us. The God of the universe to be born in a stable, die on a cross and rise again from the grave. It took love to disrupt and overturn the power of death and evil. But I came here today to tell you that the story is really not about feeling, though. It's God's story of love and action. How the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with you. To sacrifice his life so that you could be with him. This love is the second gift of Christmas that we want to unwrap this Advent season. And if you were with us last week, you know that we began a journey through the season of Advent by unwrapping the gift of hope. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And this season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth as we do every year, and to be alert for a second coming. During the Advent, we light candles on a wreath which represents aspects of Jesus coming to a world lost in darkness. And as we celebrate our own Advent wreath this season, we light an additional candle each week. Each flame brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world who was born in Bethlehem. And last week we lit the candle of hope. We talked about hope past and present and future. And we looked at a few prophecies about Jesus' coming. And last week we were challenged to place our hope in Him amidst the trials of life. And we're reminded of the hope still to be fulfilled when He comes again. Today, as we light the candle of love, Advent is a season of rediscovering the coming of our Savior and for gaining even greater understanding of how wide, how long, how high and deep is His love for us. As we unwrap this gift today, would those two special people come up and push the candle? I think it's Mitchell and Kayla, if I remember right. Come on up. Beautiful. Nice. So we got the candle of love. Mitchell looks right at me. It was heavy, man. It was beautiful. Have you ever been with kids when they're opening up Christmas presents? Oh, my gosh. The excitement of ripping off that paper is quickly replaced by the excitement of opening up that box and actually playing with whatever the toy or game is inside. The worst thing for a kid probably would be it needs batteries and we don't have any, or my dad's got to put it together. This is going to take forever. Those are the worst times. But that's what we're going to do today with the gift of love. I want to dive into it. So what do we do with this gift of love? And I just got 3 points for you today. The first point is to accept His love. So important. Accept His love. And I'm going to guess that if I just said the reference of John 3:16, many of us in this room would hear that familiar verse and it would run through our heads automatically. And just in case, it goes like this: For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. But the problem is we see that verse all the time, and sometimes we're so familiar with this verse that we can recite it and look right past it. But God's love in sending Jesus, the one love that changes everything. We know this verse so well, we can overlook it, and if we're not careful. But this was and is the ultimate gift, an act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. The message of this verse is the core of what we believe as Christians. So it makes sense as we unwrap this gift of love today that we should start here at the center. God loved the world. He gave His only Son. And when we accept that gift and believe in Him, we are given His life. We're given salvation and eternal life. John 1:12 says, Yet to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave a right to become children of God. Romans 10:9-13, If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And as the Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, who you're with, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the first thing that we do with this gift of love is so basic, it's easy to overlook. We must accept this gift. And notice I said basic and not easy. Because you think about this season, for some of you here today, this step of accepting the gift of God's love and believing in Jesus may be very difficult for you. It may be something you struggled with for a long time. It may be a brand new idea for you this morning, or it may be a gift that you just neglected for a long time. Maybe you're sitting here today and you feel unloved. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times to trust that there's something greater. Maybe you think, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets and the doubts and the fear and the pain inside. And my answer would be, well, maybe I don't. But God does. And the love He offers sees, knows, and understands. The love that God offers is Jesus Christ. The story of my own dad being in a hospital and dying and, you know, being down to 90 pounds and suffering from dementia. And I shared those verses in Romans 10. It was way back in 1998, one of the greatest days of my life, to be able to ask my dad, "Dad, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart?" "Well, Nicky, I've been a mean son of a gun all my life." That's what his answer was. "I've been a mean son of a gun all my life." And I knew he thought in his mind, "God's never going to forgive me. God's never going to allow me to go to heaven with him." And I said, "Dad, there's nothing that you've done. You just have to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him dead and you shall be saved." So no matter what challenges or hurts that you hold, God's love can handle them and heal them. There's no doubt about it. Wherever you are on your journey is okay. God knows. He understands. And his response is his arms are wide open. And he has perfect love for us. So wherever you are, I encourage you to accept the gift of God's love. Let this season of Advent that we're celebrating here be the one of accepting the love and salvation God's offered in his Son. Second point is experience his love. Because during the season of Advent, we also experience the love of God deeply. It's easy for us to be distracted by all the things that we need to get done in the next few weeks. It's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love can really overcome the darkness and the hatred that's in our world right now. It's easy to allow worry over tomorrow or next week or next year to overwhelm us, to keep us from feeling love. And all those things matter. God does not ask you to ignore those things in order to experience his love. You don't have to purge or rid yourself of hurry or worry. He invites you to bring them to him, to surrender the deepest hurts and concerns of your life to him and to allow him to fill you and renew you with his love. So the good news is that the love he gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ, is enough for us. The Apostle Paul described it this way: "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." That pretty much sums it all up. And I would like us to read the rest of it where it starts with "will." Let's read it together. "Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate from us. This is a powerful love. The most powerful love. God's love can't be contained, can't be constrained by any power in the universe. Not evil, nor death, nor person, nor power. But his love is to be experienced. And if we want to go back to our example of a kid opening up a present on Christmas Day, it's not a gift to accept and unwrap and then put on a shelf. God's love is our lifeblood and the oxygen making its way through us to continually fill us with life. Let this season be one of embracing God's love fully and experience his love in new and deep ways as we continually open our hearts and our hands and our minds in our lives to him. Last point, share his love. Someone asked me a couple weeks ago, "What do you think is the weakest part of our congregation here? What do you think we need to improve on as members of Community Christian Fellowship Church?" And I think the answer is sharing. Sharing his love. Have you ever been so in love that there's a good chance that you've done something loud or crazy to proclaim your love to the world? Maybe you literally shouted out loud in the public, "Kathy, I love you." Certainly nowadays you proclaim it on Facebook or social media or the social media platform of your choice. And I guess I wanted to ask, did anyone here ever propose to your wife on a jumbo screen at a game Just checking, man. I thought maybe Jason might have did that. Praise God. It's why we have centuries' worth of poetry and novels and plays and love songs about love. When we're in love, it shows. We can't help it. Love overflows. We want nothing else but to be in the sanctuary, worshiping here, and allowing the praise band to lead us into our love for Him. It's nothing but gathering together and just getting into the Word of God together and praying for each other and loving on each other. And then taking what we have been given by the Holy Spirit and sharing it outside these walls. Because I'm sure every one of us could write down names of 5 or 10 people that God has in our path that don't know the Lord, don't understand the love of the Lord. So we gather together and pray for them. The gift of God's love is the same way. It's for sharing. And in fact, sharing this gift doesn't leave us with less. It leaves us with more. Once we accept and experience the love of God, the next natural step is to share it and let it overflow out and around from us. John addressed the process this way in 1 John 4:9 through 11. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. What a beautiful passage. And a lot of times during the Christmas season, you hear people, maybe in your own family, just struggling with sins or struggling with just coming to grips with surrendering their life to Christ. But you got to share with people that God loves us. God sent His Son for us. That's how much He loved us. So God's love comes to us and flows through us. The more we embrace and experience God's love, the more we'll share it with others. What does that look like for you this season? That's my question. What does it look like for you this season? Could it mean spending quality time maybe with a family member that doesn't know Christ? Could it mean reconnecting with a friend who has drifted away from God? It might mean serving neighbors or strangers or seeking out someone you suspect is lonely or hurting. It might mean forgiving someone who has hurt you or apologizing to someone you have hurt. Maybe I better read that one again. It might mean forgiving someone who has hurt you or apologizing to someone you have hurt. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through us as you love others as He has loved you. Think of one way right now that you could share God's love this week. Then keep your heart and your eyes open to the world around you as Christmas approaches. Let us keep our focus on making this season of love that reaches far deeper than sentimental carols or even romantic statistics that I share. Let's revel in God's love and be known to others for His love overflowing, His love flowing out of us. May this be a season of accepting and experiencing and sharing God's gift of love in a new and deeper way. Hebrews 3:17 through 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Isn't that beautiful? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God.